Our scripture reading for this morning and for the entire season of Lent is taken from the Gospel of Mark, the very first chapter. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited on him. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." May God help us to take to heart this word from our Holy Scripture. So I have a question for you this morning. Did any of you, when you were younger, ever daydream about a magical being like a genie or a fairy godmother or whatever coming along to offer you three wishes, knowing just what you'd do with your wishes? Or did you ever, at some point in your life, imagine that you would do something extraordinary with your life, like maybe inventing something that helped people, or you become a famous performer. Maybe you cure a disease, or win a Nobel Peace Prize, or something equally spectacular. To me, these are just extensions of the natural human desire to change lives, our own lives or others, or to meet some need in the world. We intrinsically know that we are capable of something greater, that given the right circumstances, we could do something extraordinary with our lives. None of us, deep down, really think of ourselves as ordinary. We all want to think we're unique, special somehow, and we are. Occasionally, however, someone comes along who changes the course of history and helps us to understand reality in a way we've never understood it before. One of those people was Jesus. Last week, I started a sermon series for Lent based on one scripture for the whole season. Because Mark only writes what he thinks is important, he packs a lot into a few words, and that's why I chose just to stick with one scripture over the season. So last week, we heard about Jesus coming from a small, out-of-the-way hamlet where no one really thought much of him. His community, his home community, never thought of him as extraordinary, even later when he returned home in his ministry. They just thought he was the son of Mary and the brother to a bunch of brothers and sisters. In Nazareth, Jesus was no one special his entire life. Yet somewhere along the way, something drastically changed for him. And not until later in life. While Matthew, Luke, and John try to tell us something of Jesus' auspicious beginnings, Mark does none of that. He doesn't tell of his birth or his youth or anything like that. He starts his gospel with Jesus coming from Galilee and being baptized in the Jordan River by John. In Jesus' day, throngs of people were heading to the Jordan River to be baptized. John, it appears, was doing something extraordinary. People were streaming out to see him, and he had quite a little following of disciples. Now, he was the same age as Jesus, but had started his ministry earlier than Jesus. It really looked like John was the one who was changing people's lives, until Jesus shows up. To this point, Jesus has not shown up anywhere to do anything, but when he shows up, John's ministry all but disappears. At approximately 30 years of age, Jesus shows up out of nowhere to be baptized. And here is where the extraordinary begins. Jesus becomes one of those truly unique spiritual beings who changes the world by his presence. Mark tells us that just as Jesus is coming up out of the water, he sees the heavens ripped apart, and the Spirit is descending like a dove on him, and a voice comes from heaven who proclaims to him, You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased. And it is in this moment, at least according to Mark, that Jesus' life is changed. He was launched into a life and ministry that changed the world. It seems that God spoke to the very depth of Jesus' soul, and he was compelled to respond, to see reality in a new light, and to seek to bring that reality into being. From then on, he sought to convince people that God loved them and that the kingdom of God was a reality here and now. Up until that point, for all we know, Jesus was set to stay in Nazareth as a worker for the rest of his life. So I wondered, has anything like this ever happened to you? You think that your life is going to go one way, and all of a sudden, it's going somewhere unexpected. It happened to me. I always believed growing up that I'd be a nurse. Obviously, that's not where I ended up. Or have you had an experience with God in a way that transformed you, that was transformative? One where you so clearly saw life in another way that you can explain it no other way but as an encounter with the holy. I've had a couple of these experiences. One was as a young adult where I somehow knew I was speaking to Jesus. And one where everything became so vibrant and luminescent that I felt like I was connected and one with everything. These I consider mystical experiences that passed in a flash but have stayed with me all of these years. I believe that Jesus had one of these experiences, that in his baptismal experience, Jesus perceived very clearly who he was and what he would spend the rest of his life doing. In his baptism, Jesus knew God in such a transcendent way that he knew this was possible for all humanity, that all people could know God personally and know ourselves as God's beloved. Karl Rahner, a German Jesuit priest of the 20th century and perhaps one of the most influential theologians of that century, said that the Christian of the future will be a mystic or he, she will not exist at all. He meant that people will either have a dynamic, immediate, and experiential relationship with God or they will not have faith at all. That a visceral, intimate relationship with the mystery and source of life will affect our awareness of the world, our lives, and help us to understand the interconnectedness of the universe. Being a mystic will create in people a new way of living, being, and relating, and will energize all dimensions of life, just as it did for Jesus. Without this experience and understanding, life threatens to become aimless and superficial. People will not find meaning or connectedness, and all of our striving will feel vain and empty, an exercise in existing, but not truly living. And I think evidence seems to be pointing this way. I remember listening to theologian and writer Phyllis Tickle several years ago when she proclaimed that we were moving into the age of the Spirit, when people would seek not to know about God, but would seek to know God through personal experience, and that it would change our understanding of the world and the way we live. Notwithstanding COVID, there is a relentless pace and pressure applied to life these days. I hear it more and more as I listen to the news and what's going on around us. People are eager to get back to some sense of, quote, normal. Meaning, we need to get the economy back on track. We need to be able to get out and get going and doing and being with people. We need to recover better and stronger. And I wonder if we got back to that normal, what that would mean for faith. There are also people saying that they hope we never get back to that kind of normal, at least the way it was before. We need more spiritual, more connection. It is likely that a faith that exists only as a set of intellectual beliefs will wither up and die in the old environment. In a culture of science and technology, consumerism and busyness, of competing ideas and multiple religions. We need to experience God, not focus on what we believe about God. Our focus on beliefs divide us. Increasingly, we need to find ways to immerse ourselves in God, to experience God in transformative ways, to know the love of God and feel God at work in our lives. The Christianity of the past is eroding. We know that. Secularization is gaining speed. Cultures and religions are clashing and competing. Yet, I find that spirituality is alive and well. People are seeking a deeper experience of something holy, something divine, something transcendent. People don't want so much to explain mystery as to experience the profound connection and interconnection of all things. So people are experiencing the holy these days, but they're more and more experiencing it in nature, music, poetry, meditation, yoga, art. Who, if they watched Joe Biden's presidential inauguration, wasn't moved by the poetry of Amanda Gorman? In fact, she basically took center stage. We need to feel God in our lives, not think about and study God. We're beginning to understand that life as we knew it is changing, and we need something more to sustain us, to give us a sense of life as fully lived. Jesus didn't know about God. Jesus knew God, and we can too. The Christian of the future will be a mystic, or he, she will not exist at all. We are all mystics in the making. A mystic is simply someone who seeks to be one with the holy, to absorb the mystery of the universe into ourselves and let it move us, convict us, and transform us. And it will be not done through sermons or books or studies or devotions. We prepare by getting out of ourselves to seek the extraordinary, by looking at the world through the eyes of wonder and curiosity. Meeting God will happen in our seeking, our opening, our immersing, creating, and receiving. It will require us to slow down and simply be. And it will ask us to be humble and honest and vulnerable. The time is coming. We see signs of it all around us. God is alive and well. But the church has changed. Life has changed. The world has changed and we have changed. Yet we have always found new and creative ways to be the people of God. May it ever be so.